Broadcasting live from the Buckhead Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for another episode of the Atlanta Dealmakers Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Ritz Group Radio Show. I am your host today. My name is Trace Crowe. I'm going to spare you my long biographical details, which I gave you last time, and just say that I am moderately qualified to be sitting in this chair. I'm going to lead you through another wonderful show. We have a very interesting theme. I am surrounded by the ladies here. We had last week our big theme for our big Shark Attack event was startups in the city. It was all women entrepreneurs, all women investors. It was a wonderful event. We were so happy to have everyone there. And so we figured we'd carry the fun on into this week's show. So today we are joined by Mary Blackman from FarmStar Living. We're joined by Camille Cooper from Endeavor and Maya Hughes from Girl Talk. And we have Kathy Hankinson maybe sneaking in here a little bit late to hopefully join us and talk a little bit about Equity U. So first up, we have Mary Blackman. She is the founder of FarmStar Living. It's a first-of-its-kind new lifestyle brand that celebrates both the lives of real farmers and the farming lifestyle in general so that people everywhere can better understand, appreciate, and support farmers and the world of farming. She offers a large resource of farm-to-table restaurants all over the USA, which is also featured on the FarmStar Living app. FarmStar Living offers a great way to find farm-to-table restaurants near you and wherever you may travel. So welcome to the show, Mary.
Thank you, Trace. Happy to be here.
Yes, excellent. So tell us a little bit about what is FarmStar Living?
Well, FarmStar Living is a media brand, both online and in an app, that puts a spotlight on farmers and farming and brings it to the public.
All right, excellent. Where did the idea come from?
Well, I've been in internet media for a long time and magazines before that, but I'm really from a farming community in Arkansas. And basically, about 5 or 6 years ago, I took over my family farm. So I left my city life in L.A., moved down to the farm, and took it over and started to realize how hard it is and how much dedication it requires to be able to run a farm. And I became so inspired by the people around me, the people that were mentoring me, and I just felt that there's so much excitement and passion and enthusiasm with this career, and sometimes most people don't really have the understanding of what it's all about. So I thought I could put a whole new spin on it and bring it to the public and make them hopefully feel a little less intimidated by it so that they could connect with it and feel hopefully as passionate as I do.
All right. I think I missed it. Where is your family farm?
My family farm is on the border of Arkansas and Louisiana, which is the region where I grew up. So, So I am running it.
Yeah. And you work here. FarmStar Living is based out of Atlanta, correct?
Yes. The situation is for many years I was very hands-on with the farm, but we've gotten it to a point now that it's being really operated mostly by a family of farmers. So I work with them, but they really have it under control. So my headquarters are here in Atlanta, where I've launched my business.
All right.
Yeah.
What do you guys grow?
We grow rice.
Rice.
Yes.
Yummy.
My grandfather started this farm in the late 50s. Before that, it was a tree farm. And he decided that he could change it, and he basically developed rice farming in Southeast Arkansas. And yeah, you know, Arkansas grows about 50% of the U.S. rice.
Wow.
I know. Most people don't know that.
That's incredible.
I know.
That's incredible. So when did you launch? It's pretty recently, right?
Well, I actually have been working on it since 2012. FarmStar Living has farm-to-table restaurants in every major city across the United States. So that took a ton of research. And not only that, but we also got the farms that are open to the public in every single state, and we broke them down by activity. So that if a family wanted to find a place to take their kids to a petting zoo, they could search by petting zoo in a state, you know, or nearby area. They could also find hay rides or bed and breakfasts or organic workshops. And that information has taken me a long time to compile. So we started working on that since at the end of 2012. And I launched it basically in January 2013 as USA Farm Stars. And that was basically focusing on the farmers. But I realized there's so much more that I wanted to bring into the spotlight here. So it evolved into Farm Star Living.
All right.
So that's been the process. As most entrepreneurs know, there's usually a little bit of evolution.
Yeah, absolutely. So what kind of, well, you already said you'll find stuff about farm to table living in general, really, the restaurants and also where you can go to find cool activities.
Yes. So it's all about, you know, things that you can go do on the weekend, like a road trip to a farm to go pick your own berries and make your own strawberry, you know, shortcake. The fact of the matter is we have farm fresh food. We have recipes, we have farms that you go find activities to do. Then we also have the great restaurants in every city that are farm to table. Mm-hmm. So you know if you're going out to that restaurant that's on our list, you're going to a place that's supporting local farmers, that's great quality food, and that's good for the community.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know I have been waiting for this. I'm a parent of a couple of small kids, and every fall we're always trying to find the best hayride to go to pick pumpkins or get apples. And you know, you have to, I know how much work you put in because we basically have had to do it every fall ourselves, just trying to find the right place.
Yes, there's a lot. And as I said, we cover every state across the United States. So it's a lot of information. It's a ton of research, and we love it.
Yeah.
So it's free, you know, it's free.
Yeah. And so the website's not the only place, right? There's another way they can get this information.
That's right. We launched an app. It's the Farm Star Living app, which is free also. That's on the iPad, iPhone, Android, and that has your farm to table restaurant. So you can find them when you're on the go, when you're traveling, as well as farms and the fun activities you can do. So that's the Farm Star Living app.
All right. And what's the difference? There's the same content on both, but what separates the website from the app?
The website is much more comprehensive. We showcase farmers. We call them farm stars. So we do lifestyle stories. So you can get to know, you know, who the farmers are as people and the people behind your food. We also have recipes every month. We have chefs and farmers and the interaction between the two of them and how they're, you know, it's a symbiotic relationship. You can't have a chef without a farmer, and you can't have a farmer, you know, supplying, you know, great, well, you have to have the farmer to supply great restaurants.
Absolutely. So you got a lot of things coming up here. Like, you're growing, things are moving for you. What can your users and people coming new to the website expect from Farm Star Living in the future?
Well, there's a lot of good things that we're about to launch. We're working on a lot of things. Some of them I'm going to keep under wraps, so I'll have something to talk about next time. But we're very close to launching a section where you will have every fruit, every vegetable, every herb, nut, and grain. You'll have their medicinal benefits, health benefits, nutrition information, farming tidbits, and fun facts. And what we realized when I was, you know, looking at great food that we were showcasing and spotlighting, I thought, well, what is this exactly good for? And I started to go look at my research. And then I was saying, well, where is this grown? And then I had to go to someplace else. And then I would say, and how can you eat this? And how many calories are in this? And I realized there's nothing that has it all in one place. So we've basically taken every single fruit, every single vegetable, and almost every herb, nut, and grain, broken it down from A to Z, so you'll be able to search for health benefit, like fights cancer, fights, you know, osteoporosis, good for, you know, skin, something like that. You'll be able to find that. So we're calling that A to Z, and it's launching right around the corner.
All right. Well, that's really exciting.
Yeah,
that's
it
really
is. Exciting. And that will be on the app as well.
Yeah, you guys are like Willy Wonka's chocolate factory for farm to table living. Like, every time I talk to you, you've got something new that you guys have just thought up, and it's wonderful over there.
Yeah, if I can give one shout out to this program we launched, because we are giving the cutest t-shirts away for free, and all you have to do is participate in this Insta-dinner with Springer Mountain Farms.
Okay.
So Springer Mountain Farms is working with us, and there are maybe 20 restaurants across Atlanta that you can go to and simply Instagram their menu to us.
Okay,
and
wow.
We're giving those people free Farmstar Living t-shirts, and they'll be entered to win a freezer full of 100 pounds of Springer Mountain Farm chicken. Okay?
Wow.
It's so you can throw your own barbecue, and you'll look cool while you're doing it. So you just go to one of the participating restaurants on my site.
Okay.
Okay? It's a sweepstakes we're running right now.
All right. Excellent. Well, what is the website?
The website is farmstarliving.com. And the app is also Farmstar Living. And you can also submit your own farm if you want to list your farm there. You can submit your own farm-to-table restaurant there. And, you know, if you know any great farmers we should be profiling, you can email us as well.
And that's all free, right?
It's all
free.
It's free
to get listed on the site?
It's free to the restaurants. It's free for the farmers. I support the restaurants that support the farmers. I support the farms that are open to the public.
So who is it not free to?
You know, well, we seek advertising sponsorships and then to do promotions and partnerships.
Okay.
So that's how we make money. And so if you want to advertise, you can also email me.
So I got one last question I have to ask. What is your favorite farm-to-table restaurant here in Atlanta? We are in Buckhead, so maybe consider our demographic here.
You know, I have to say, there are so many, but there's a lamb belly at King and Duke that's to die for, that's from Gum Creek Farms, that's exceptional.
Okay.
I think it's one of the most stellar dishes I've had, and, you know, there's so many good ones, but I'll give a shout out to that dish, because it's pretty special. I could eat that, like, for the appetizer entree and possibly for the dessert.
Well, wonderful. Mary Blackman, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
We have Mary Blackman from Farmstar Living. We are actually going to be bringing you back a little bit later during our roundtable discussion.
Great.
So you'll
thank
be hearing
you.
Her voice again.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So for our next guest, we've got Maya Hughes. She is the co-founder of Girl Talk app. Girl Talk is a mobile social network created to serve as the primary communication suite for women and female-driven groups and organizations. Girl Talk enhances the social networking experience for a nice market, providing users a sleek and customizable interface that allows their conversations, expressions, and soirees to meet seamlessly in the digital space. Thank you so much for joining us, Maya.
Thank you for having me.
So, let's talk about Girl Talk. Let's have a little bit of Girl Talk, I guess. What was the genesis of it? How did you guys come up with it?
Well, my business partner, who is a little under the weather today, we were roommates in New York City, and I was new to the iPhone. I had just purchased an iPhone, and I was downloading the emoji keyboard. And I kept asking her, there's so many emoticons on here, but is there a face for side eye? Is there a face for flips hair, bats eyelashes? And she was like, no, there isn't. And, you know, the whole day I'm just like completely immersed into the new phone and trying to figure out all its features and, you know, asking her, where's the face for this and where's the face for that? And finally we were like, you know, we should just come up with it. We should just create it ourselves. So initially we set out to have a keyboard that overlaid the iPhone keyboard, but we, you know, through a lot of discovery and, you know, just trying to really get out there and make it happen, we discovered we couldn't do that. So from there we decided to build an entire platform exclusively for women around the idea of bringing new, fresh emoticons that were feminine specific emotions to the mobile space.
All right, wonderful. So why Atlanta? If you guys were in New York City, you got Silicon Alley there. Why not just stay in New York City?
New York City is very expensive.
Yes, good.
And we are both Atlanta natives. And
okay.
We, you know, definitely keeping up with the city and our parents being here. We they were always telling us about the technology boom that was happening here, how Atlanta was on the verge of being one of the one of the top five tech hubs in the state. So we were really excited about that. And when you live in New York City, but you're from the South, you're always itching to get back. So that's what we decided, that we would have Atlanta as our headquarters.
Well, that's wonderful. We're very glad to have you guys here.
Thank you.
I think you guys are part of a movement of people kind of coming to Atlanta, because you mentioned one of the top benefits, right? It's a lot cheaper than a lot of other places. But also there's a lot of resources here. So what sort of resources have been available to you guys as you've gotten Girl Talk started?
Everything. We got into Atlanta Tech Village. They have tons of resources. We've been with Hypopotamus and OHub. Those are some of great co-working spaces that have just provided us with a lot of information, with a lot of people to reach out to. The Ritz Group has also been, you know, extremely beneficial to us. So we've kind of just gotten out there, hit the ground running, talking to every person we can about Girl Talk. And people have just been overwhelmingly supportive with anything that they can help. So it's been, Atlanta has been an amazing experience. It's been great.
Yeah, that's great. So you started, you launched the first round of Girl Talk last year, correct?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tell me about that experience, about launching, getting market research and all that stuff.
Okay. The first round was a long time coming. My business partner and I, we don't have a technical background. We just had a really cool idea. So we decided that, you know, we're smart enough to put it together and make it happen. So eventually we launched what we call kind of like a beta test version in February of 2013. We had an amazing response of just our friends and their friends kind of downloading the app. So we had 1,500 downloads on day one. And what we decided to do was use it as like a test version completely, so we can figure out what users like, what they didn't like, what they wanted more of. Did they like the colors? Did they, you know, all kinds of things like that. And it was great market research for us. We were since then able to streamline the features. We were able to just implement all of their feedback. We did a complete year of discovery of not only having people on the app, but just asking women questions about what they want in a mobile application, what they like about social media, what they don't, what they like about sharing and talking to their girlfriends and things like that. So now we're in a place where we are soon to relaunch what we're calling the Girl Talk Reloaded version, and we're looking for that at the end of the summer.
All right. So what is Girl Talk? I mean, you explained what it is, but what is the primary thing when they download the app? How do they use it? And what can they get beyond just the base app?
Okay. Well, Girl Talk it's designed to be a mobile social network exclusively for women. So within the app, women are able to instant message one-on-one. They're able to group chat in what we call our clicks. They're able to share feminine-specific emoticon faces like flips hair and talk to the hand. And they are also able to see what's going on around them. So we have different groups or cliques, or what is what we call them, that offer things like if you're into sports, you can see who else is into sports and have conversations with those girlfriends as well.
All right, cool. And there are add-ons that they can get. Correct?
Mm-hmm.
Once they got the initial app, they can purchase add-ons, correct?
Mm-hmm. We allow users to expand their emoticon keyboard, so they'll have all kinds of emoticons, not just the first set that they have. And then we also have in there the Girl Talk button, because one of the things that we thought was really important in our discovery phase is that nurturing relationships and keeping in touch with your girlfriends is a priority for most women, but they often don't get a chance to do it. And when they do get together, they're always saying things like we should do this more often or we've got to do better. So within the app, there's the Girl Talk button that you can just tap, and then you can select talk, text, or meet up in person and select the frequency of that and shoot it to your girlfriend to quickly accept. So you're never saying we should do this more often because you can just Girl Talk her.
All right. So what's the most popular, like top five emoticons that people use? What do you guys know that, or have you heard from people which ones they like to use the most?
Yes. Talk to the hand is okay. One of the most popular ones. Flips hair,
okay.
Bat's eyelashes, and we have one that says missing him. So and it's so if you're like missing your friend or something like
okay.
that, those are our most popular ones.
Okay. So both you and your co-founder made the jump from corporate America, correct,
mm-hmm.
to Girl Talk.
Mm-hmm.
And you moved from New York to Atlanta. There's a lot of change. Talk about what led you guys to leave corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
At what point did you say, you know, this is what we need to do? And what went into that decision?
Well, when we were in New York and we were roommates, we would always sit around the house and say things like, what can we do to make more money? What can we do to make more money? And she worked in Wall Street, on Wall Street rather, and I was working in sports. She had a passion for what she was doing. And as a former athlete, I definitely had a passion. I was working with the New York Knicks. So I was really excited about, you know, it's almost like a dream job. And then the idea of Girl Talk came, and it was almost like a hobby that we would spend time on every single day for a couple hours, like our after school project almost. And then it grew and it became even more robust. And then it became, okay, we're going to work every single day, and then we're up all night doing Girl Talk. So we're getting about an hour and a half, 2 hours of sleep, and then doing it all over again. And you just kind of get exhausted and your passion changes. Like, you've put so much into this, and you're just really excited about it. And then you're reaching out to people and telling them about your idea, and they're like encouraging you and telling you this could really go somewhere. And for me, one of my mentors told me that, he said, Maya, if you really want to do this and you really want to make it big, an investor is not going to want to know that you are working for the Knicks for 8+ hours a day and then working on their investment. So he was like, if you really want to do it and you're passionate about it, then you have to just go for it. And I said, you know what? I have no problem doing that. Okay, I'll quit my job. And so my business partner and I, we talked about it, and she definitely has an entrepreneur spirit. It was something that I think that has been ingrained in us since we were kids. So we just decided to say a prayer and take that leap.
One last question. So you this is essentially a social media play.
Mm-hmm.
And social media has actually played quite a role in the first rollout, correct? Mm-hmm. You both have a lot of followers.
Mm-hmm.
What role does social media play now in trying to get a startup out there?
I think it's a huge advantage for anyone who's trying to just expand or start any business, because everyone's on social media and everyone's always referring to it first to get news, to get information, to get what's new, what's going on. So what we have been able to successfully do so far is to leverage the following that we have in the social media space to get interest, engage users for Girl Talk. I think social media marketing is obviously very affordable and it's really powerful. So I mean, it's just very important.
tell our listeners how they can't get Girl Talk right now, right? They'll be able to get it by the end
mm-hmm.
of the summer.
By the end of the summer.
Where can they get information about when it's launching? They can quick download it, like
yes.
a One Direction concert.
You can go to www.girltalkapp.com, mm-hmm. and that's Girl Talk with a Y, and you can follow us on Facebook, Girl Talk App, Instagram, Girl Talk App, and Twitter, Girl Talk App. And okay. That's Girl Talk with a Y.
All right. And I do want to remind everyone that you will be able to get all of this information by the end of the week on the Buckhead Business Radio X website, as well as the Ritz Group website. So if you're trying to furiously take notes and you miss the spelling of something, you'll be able to get it later. Thank you so much, Maya.
Thank you.
It was wonderful talking to you. All right. So up next, we have... I guess we'll go with Miss Kathy Hankinson. You made it. We're so glad you're here. Kathy, she has a passion for helping people. She has a powerful, results-driven leader. Her expertise is in creating makeover strategies that result in a roadmap taking you from where you are now to where you want to be with your business, life, and money. Kathy spent her career building a solid, expansive network of trusted experts, and she brings together people and resources to create powerful results. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's get started. We'll just get this one out of the way. You are helping the Ritz Group in a lot of ways. In fact, I think you've been helping them longer than I've been helping them.
Yeah.
You're the original ambassador. I'm sort of a pretender. What are you doing for the Ritz Group right now?
Well, Larry asked me, maybe a couple years back. I was going to the Ritz Group for the networking aspect, and Larry saw how much I connect people. I'm a connector. I take, you're looking for money. Oh, you need to meet this investor. And I was always like matching people up and making connections. And so Larry reached out to me and asked me if I would take on the role of being one of the ambassadors for the Ritz Group and help them build it. And so I said, yeah, sure. So I've helped him in just building up membership and reaching out to people, making connections, and just helping build that into a more robust community for the Atlanta Investment Network. So.
Yeah, well, I can tell you, you've been enormously helpful to me, introducing me to people and getting me plugged into the network so that I could be beneficial to others as well. So what is your background as an entrepreneur?
Well, I think I was always an entrepreneur. It took me a few years to figure it out. My first entrepreneurial adventure is probably selling candy bars in grade school to raise money for field trips. And my first job right out of high school, I sold Fuller Brush door to door for a summer. And I don't think you get any more entrepreneurial than that. And I was bit by the bug, but I went to college and did the go to college, get a job, have a career, started out that way and decided I'm just really not very employable. And and I just have such an entrepreneurial spirit. And so I've done a number of things. I've been a speaker and done a lot of corporate training and a lot of training workshops for organizations. And that took me into financial services for several years, where I built a big financial services team through my independent, broker type of a setup, and really got the bug for helping people start and build a business. Because everyone that I was bringing on board, I was training them how to be an independent contractor and literally build their own business from scratch. And that's where I got the bug for helping people with starting a business and growing and expanding a business and the different phases and stages. And so I got more involved then in consulting and working with people and helping them do that with all kinds of businesses, and just love it. I love being a part of the transformation process for people, whether it's in their life, their personal life, or their business life, and being a catalyst for that.
What are some of the challenges that you see, the kind of common challenges that face entrepreneurs as they start out on this journey?
Wow. Well, two really big things, I think. One, for a lot of them, is money. Mm-hmm. A lot of entrepreneurs are, I don't even know if I could call it bootstrapping, because some of them don't even have enough to do that. But they have a vision, they have a dream, they have something that they want to do. And, access to money has just gotten really hard in the last few years. And that, I think that's the biggest obstacle for a lot of people starting out, is getting that initial seed money to take something from in their head and their heart out into the world and make it materialize. That's the first thing. The other thing that I see that so many entrepreneurs struggle with is getting stuck in being a solopreneur and trying to do everything themselves and not having a team. People think, well, I can't afford a team. But a team doesn't necessarily mean people you pay. Mm-hmm. It means people who are on board as mentors, as guides, as advisors, people who will barter and do work for you and you do things for them. So I think the other thing is people just having this limited vision of thinking they have to do it all themselves and not knowing what to do to build a team and the resources that are available to them.
That's a really great point. Some of the companies that get stuck, especially as the you may have a scalable idea, mm-hmm. but if you're trying to scale but you don't have the personnel to scale and you don't know how to manage a team of people, mm-hmm. You're going to get stuck. You're going to get stuck in third gear, basically, because you just can't. You can't scale with one person. There's no idea that one person can run everything.
Yeah.
So now let's get back to money, right? You have something called Impact the Money Mastery Game. Tell our listeners a little bit about that.
Well, that game really came as a result of my years in financial services and really seeing how people struggled with a fundamental understanding of how money works and how to make money work for them. And I really do see that so much, especially on the business side, because people don't know how to get access to the money and they don't know how to handle the money. And so it came honestly, out of my sheer frustration of working with people from all walks of life, people who made $30,000 a year to $300,000 a year. There was no difference with many of those people in their knowledge of basic fundamental financial principles. And I found that people are really resistant when you tell them what they should do, but when it's their idea, it's awesome. And I had had experience in training people through game simulations for experiential training, and saw how much it accelerated the learning process. So they learn faster, and it becomes their idea. When it's their idea, they own it, and it's brilliant. So I took the concept of taking a game and turning it into a learning simulation, and that's where Impact the Money Mastery Game was created, to help people play their way to wealth and have experiences of what can happen with money without actually putting their own money at risk. So it's been quite a journey and a lot of fun.
Yeah. Let's talk about Sir Richard Branson. He's a fan, right?
That's one of the, I don't know if weird's a good word, but it's one of the most interesting things that has happened to me. A friend of mine was speaking at a conference, sharing the platform with Sir Richard Branson, and they were a day after the conference spending a whole day with local youth that had been handpicked to have a day of mentoring with Richard Branson and some other business leaders. And my friend, who was going to be one of those business leaders, saw what the agenda was, and he's quite blunt, and he told them it was just awful and the kids were going to be bored to tears, and suggested that they have me bring my game and use that as part of the day of mentoring. And these were young people from 16 to 22 years old. So got on a conference call, and literally 10 days before the event, we had the conference call, and they invited me to bring the game. And so it was a total of 40 people, 20 young people and their chaperones, and hanging around the pool of a private home, sitting around at tables, playing the game. And what was supposed to just go for 1 hour ended up being 3 hours because they were having so much fun. And Richard Branson sat there and played the game with a group of young people the entire time and just had a blast hanging out. He's one of the most down-to-earth, like what you see in you know, little quotes about him and what you see, how he is on TV and any interview you've ever seen him in, what you see is what you get with him. He's just so down-to-earth, and he was super gracious and just raved about the game and what a great experience it was. So it was kind of a really cool moment in my life.
Yeah, he seems like he'd be a lot of fun. He's a really fun guy.
Yeah, he had a blast with the kids and joked around with them. And the really cool thing that was the most pivotal moment in that experience was I learned firsthand the power of mentoring. Yeah. When somebody mentors someone right, the youngest person there was the youngest son of one of the chaperones there. He was 11 years old, and he wasn't going to come that day because he thought he wouldn't fit in and he wouldn't get it and he didn't want to look dumb and all, you know, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And he ended up at the last minute deciding to come. And Richard Branson, when everybody kind of broke up and went and found a table to sit at and play with a group, kind of grabbed him, took him under his wing and said, come on and come play with me. And that young man, Solomon is his name, sat next to Branson while they played the game. And I kept going by, and not once did Branson ever tell him what to do. He would just guide him and ask him questions and make him think about, you know, what choice he was going to make. And out of 40 people there, guess who won?
Solomon, I guess. Yeah.
Well, truthfully, Richard Branson had the highest score, but he did bow out and exempt himself. And the next highest score was Solomon, the youngest person there. And, you know, everybody got to really see the power of when you have somebody who mentors you and guides you, what that can do for you in the decisions you make. And so it's really made me be even more conscious now of making sure that entrepreneurs have a mentor in their life to give them that guidance, because it was just such a powerful thing to witness. Yeah. And that kid walked out of there like 10 feet off the ground.
Yeah.
And it I know it changed them forever because of that experience. So
that's a wonderful story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
It was a great experience.
We've got time for one more question. I actually want to prod you to plug something that is going on tonight.
Yes.
As well as we'll be doing more of them in the future. Why don't you talk a little bit about Equity U?
Well, I'm so excited to get to work with you and Larry on the Equity U program and bring some great workshops to the entrepreneurial community. The one we're doing tonight is how to be investor ready, which is critical. So many times people think it's just going out and talking to people about, you know, can you put up money for my business? Mm-hmm. And there's so much more that goes into it. And that's what we're going to be covering tonight, kind of the components of different types of investing and what investors look for. And then having your little 30-second commercial, not just what you say, but how you say it.
Yes.
We're going to be doing some really cool stuff. And then next week, we're doing one that's pitch prep, and mm-hmm. I'm real excited about that because I've actually been an image consultant for 22 years and work with people on their image and their personal presence, and we're going to be taking some time to go really deep diving with people on getting their presence when they're in front of people really nailed down to be powerful and confident, because I know, you know, you never have a second chance to make a first impression, and you have about 10 seconds to do that. So when you're in front of somebody looking for money, you better make those 10 seconds count.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we're going to be doing next week, is working with people to make those 10 seconds super powerful and their full presentation really strong. So, and then we have another, and all of it's on the Ritz Group website, all of the courses, but really excited about these first two that we're rolling out. So it's tonight, and then the next one is next Tuesday night, 5 to 9.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're very excited that you were able to join us and help craft this program. I think that it's going to be very beneficial to the listeners of Buckhead Business Radio X, as well as members of the Ritz Group, and anyone's welcome to join us. Unfortunately, it's closed for registration is closed for tonight's event, but for next week it's wide open. Mm-hmm. So if you want to join us, you absolutely can. RitzGroup.org. Tell our listeners how they can find out about you, not just about Equity U.
So my website is www.impactsuccesssystems.com, and that's my I have a Facebook page under that with dashes in between, and LinkedIn page, and let's see, what else? Twitter, YouTube, all under either Kathy Hankinson, CathyHankinson, or Impact Success Systems. And, I'm pretty easy to find.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Kathy.
Thank you, Trace.
Our last guest is Camille Cooper. She's the chief of staff for Endeavor, which is a summer business incubator for high school students, speaking of mentoring, which will be hosted on Georgia Tech's campus this summer. She's currently finishing her last year at Kenan Flagler University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill School of Business, where she is an active participant in Alpha Phi Omega, a national service fraternity and career peers, the student arm of University Career Services. Thank you so much for joining us, Camille.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
All right, so tell our listeners about Endeavor.
Yeah, so like you said, we are a summer business incubator for high school students. So this summer we're taking 22, 16 and 17-year-olds, and in 5 short weeks we're teaching them the entrepreneurial mindsets and the skills they need to start their own businesses while actually having them start their own businesses, which is really exciting.
And how do you believe we can build entrepreneurship and attract entrepreneurs to our fair city of Atlanta?
Well, something that we're doing with Endeavor is to start them early.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta startup community has really embraced us this year. We launched our pilot program in Boston and decided to move to Atlanta because of the outreach we are experiencing here. You guys have wonderful partnerships here and great partnership with Atlanta Tech Village right now, and a lot of Ritz Group as well that we're pursuing, which has been great for us.
I'm going to ask the controversial question. Is entrepreneurship something that can be taught?
We believe that it can be.
Okay.
So, I mean, you think about entrepreneurs and you think about, well, people say, well, I can't do this because entrepreneurs are born to be entrepreneurs. And we believe that the mindset and the tools are something that can be taught, so that maybe entrepreneurs were some people were born to do it, but that everyone can do that. And we're really excited to see what the businesses that these students will come up with this summer.
And so do the students have business ideas going in, or is kind of the purpose to come up with the business idea while they're here?
Yeah, so we operate a lot under the Lean Startup methodology, but what we do is we kind of take it a step backwards. So these students are coming in with problems that they have thought about, or what are some problems that I can solve? Not a solution, a problem. And so we want to take them through what problems they have and kind of get them to expand on that, and then start thinking about how can I solve that problem, and just making sure that you're asking the right questions and that you're solving the right problem before you jump immediately into the solution.
And you know, one of the, you talked about accessibility to entrepreneurship and the ideas. I know that a lot of the co-working spaces and incubators and entrepreneurial groups here in Atlanta are very concerned with making sure that the information that is required to start your own entrepreneurial venture is accessible to people of all ages, people of all socioeconomic backgrounds. How do you make being an entrepreneur something that is accessible to everybody?
Well, I'll go ahead and tell you, our eventual goal for Endeavor is to actually make it free for all of our students. So you think about entrepreneurship as a concept, and it's kind of tied to the American dream that it should be accessible to everyone. It's something that everyone should have an opportunity to start their own business. But as Kathy was mentioning before, sometimes it's really hard to get the financial backing and just to get the experience there, and so you lose the confidence that you can do this. So eventually we want to make sure that we are teaching entrepreneurship to everyone, and that the skills that we're teaching are available to everyone and not just the select few that have the financial means to pay for it.
Let's talk about, obviously our theme, our loose theme is women in entrepreneurship, women in business. Mm-hmm. What are some of the success factors for female entrepreneurs?
Starting them early, getting them in the right mindset early on. So we have about, we had a 50-50 split, almost 50-50 last summer. That's a little bit less this year of female to male students. And I think we're trying to teach each and every one of them that they can start with whatever business that they are interested in. You hear a lot about, maybe there's not a lack of female entrepreneurs, but there's a lack of female entrepreneurs that are willing to compete in the tech space, which is such a huge thing in Atlanta and even throughout the world. But we're not seeing enough female entrepreneurs in that tech space. And so that's something that we wanted to encourage every one of our students, that they can pursue whatever business that they're interested in, especially in the tech space, and that they're a woman.
Well, let me ask kind of two follow-up questions. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that kind of stereotype that there's not enough women in the tech space, particularly? And if so, do you have maybe a theory about why, or is it just a matter of access?
I think it's it is about a matter of access, and I just think it's about a certain mindset. And you think about the great progress that we're making, and that I know Sheryl Sandberg with the Lean In and everything like that that's going on right now. But that even from a young age, even younger than the high school ages that we're teaching right now, are not encouraged to be part of the STEM mindset. And it's a lot of the things we're hearing right now, the pushback from female engineers and female entrepreneurs in that tech space that are saying, well, we weren't being taught this, but we overcame that barrier. And I think that's something that we really need to emphasize going forward, not necessarily in the entrepreneurial space, but in everywhere, that women should be encouraged really young, even younger than high school, to get into that space.
Well, I think what you guys are doing is phenomenal. And that's really, as soon as I heard about this from some friends at ATV, I definitely wanted to make sure the Ritz Group was a part of it as much as we could and help promote this. Because I think it's mind-blowing when you think about it, that there's this kind of idea that entrepreneurship is like its own thing, right? But it's like, that's the American dream. I mean, this whole idea of starting your own business and running your own business entrepreneurship is really tied hand to hand with the idea that anyone can make it in this country. Yeah. So I think it's wonderful that you guys are doing that. You've been listening to Camille Cooper with Endeavor. We're going to try this for the first time. This is, of course, only our second show, so just about everything we do is new. But we're going to try and open this up a little bit, do a little bit of a roundtable discussion. I think that we've got a lot of, as we've talked to everybody, we've got a lot of synergies here. Certainly, Mary, Maya, you both are running tech plays, basically. I mean, you're running web-based plays and app plays here. So why don't we start right there with women in tech entrepreneurship? What are your guys' take on this?
Well, first of all, I have to say to Maya, your business sounds awesome, and I need some of those emoticons.
Thank you.
I want the hair flip. I want the speak to the hand. I want them all. But, you know, I've been in this space for a long time. I've seen it grow a lot. And, you know, I was never really taught technology. It's something that it did not come naturally to me. Sales has come naturally to me. And when I was living in New York, I was in ad sales, and I went and I interviewed with Wired, with their mm-hmm. digital properties. And I said, I have to tell you, I barely know how to use a computer or anything. And so they had to teach me, and they said, don't worry, we can teach you the tools. And I feel very fortunate that I did that career switch from magazines and the offline world to the online world in my 20s. You know, that's almost, it was a long time ago. It's like 18 years ago or something. I don't even remember now. I'm so old. Just kidding. Not really. So if I hadn't been taught at that time, I don't know if I would have or when I would have made that jump, because it didn't come naturally to me as a female in this space. I never had exposure to tech. What about you, Maya?
I think that I've had some exposure to tech, but never a serious interest in it until now. And now I've noticed that a lot of it's rare to find women in this field. It's rare to find women, female engineers and female coders, and who we always want to bring onto our team. So it's exciting when you definitely do walk into a room, like Women Who Code in Atlanta. Being a part of those groups is exciting because you see people, like it's not necessarily impossible to have women in that field. So it's very exciting when you can be a part of those kind of groups. But it's definitely rare to have women in technology. But I do see it growing, especially right here in Atlanta, and I'm just really excited to be a part of that.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. My sense is that there seems to be a lot of talk about it and kind of a groundswell of support that you know, maybe in 10 years or so, this may be something that we're not even really talking about much. That there's just lots of women in tech. It's not even something that we're mentioning. At least that would be my hope. Do you guys get the sense that there's kind of movement in the right direction with this?
I absolutely do see that there's a movement. I think one of the best things about this field is the autonomy. Like, you can come and go and do and set your own schedule. It's you become your own entrepreneur, whether you're you have the idea or you're the engineer behind it or anything like that. So I definitely see with more women in the space and you have more role models that it's definitely taking off. Amongst women in here.
Yeah. I've been a female entrepreneur in the internet space since 2002, and I was a female in 2002. but, you know, I think also it's the subject matter that you're choosing mm-hmm. because, you know, my last business was on spas, so there were more female people in that industry. So I also think not only technology, but where you're going with technology. And I think the content dictates the interest level of women. You know, like Maya, if I might say so, you got interested in this because you wanted to use this. Mm-hmm. So it was the content that kind of pulled you into the world of tech.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I feel like for me, it's kind of been the mission or something about it that has pulled me into it. So I think as more people have been interested in more diverse subjects and they're all going online, it will pull more people online and, of course, women.
I completely agree with you. You know, one of the things that I've seen, having grown up in the era of the beginning of the feminist movement and women's mm-hmm. lib, and having lived in the heartbeat of that growing up in Northern California, you know, I remain astonished that young girls today, you know, still want to go to college to find a husband, get married and have babies and be a teacher so they can have the summers off. And I just dropped my jaw thinking, what was that we fought for all those years? But, you know, and there we could have a very, very long conversation, way more time than we have right now, on the differences, honestly, the genetic differences between men and women. We like to think we're all equal, but, you know, as time has shown, there really are some differences in the way we're made up and the way our brains are made up. And, you know, 10 years ago, little girls were playing with dolls and little boys were playing with video games. Men naturally then progress into the tech field and women naturally did not. But what's happening now is, thanks to smartphones and iPads and tablets, and all the kids are playing on those now. And so what I think is happening is all those same things that little girls and little boys did are now being done on smartphones and tablets. And I think we're going to see, because of that, just like you said, girls mm-hmm. are going to, it's going to be the content that pulls them. But I think we're going to see a lot more women moving into the tech arena because of the technology that's available to everyone now. And so many kids, that's what they're growing up on. And I have a 7-year-old nephew who has an 8-year-old girl cousin, and they are constantly on video chat on the smartphones. And, you know, doing FaceTime, and I'm astonished. And so I think the access to technology is going to pull more girls into it. And you know, I think that's going to be really the key thing that's going to shift things. Because I think on a natural level, there's just always that gap. Mm-hmm. There are lots of programs out there to pull girls into all the STEM programs, and yet why aren't there more? And again, much longer discussion than we have time for, but I think the technology is going to make the difference.
Well, one of the keys of entrepreneurship is similar to what they tell writers. You know, write about what you know, mm-hmm. start a business in something you know. And I think that, you know, what happens is, you know, initially with computers, you know, and the tech field, is you have men making something for other men because that's the world that they know. And now finally, it like you said, things are opening up where, I mean, I thought it was kind of funny. You were talking about women going to college to find a husband, have babies, and become a teacher, so they have the summers off. But now they can start a tech company uh-huh. and have whatever time they want off. You
exactly.
know, I mean, it's truly democratizing in that way. You know, everyone. I mean, me and my wife both work from home. So we're sitting in our home office together, you know, and we just had a baby, or she had the baby. I watched, you know, it's very freeing. We have that freedom to kind of have a much more fluid dynamic about who's raising the children and who's working at whatever time. So something Camille said I thought was one of the most I think speaks a lot to this. I mean, you said last year you had a 50-50 split.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's astounding. You said it's a little bit down this year, but I mean, I think that says a lot about mm-hmm. the next generation.
Yeah, I think, again, what Maya said, that this is where the mentor role comes in, and Kathy touched mm-hmm. on that too, that there may be few women right now, but these women and you two both in the tech field have the ability to impact so many more lives other than yourselves and be a mentor to so many other people. One of our co-founders is a woman, and she's done so much for me personally as a mentor, and that's something that you can just carry down again and again until it expands and we're not talking about it anymore in the next 10 years.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think agree. It does have to start from the top and move down. So what are, I guess, other than CEO, I suppose, where we're going with this. So what are some roles that you guys would like to see more women in the business world, not just tech, which I guess we kind of covered here, but just in general?
Well, you know, the percentage of women in the C-suite positions is still astonishingly low. And I think part of the reason, with all that I read, is, you know, there's still a glass ceiling in the corporate world. So more and more women are leaving the corporate world to start their own businesses and are far outpacing men in starting new businesses because it's the only way they get to be the CEO. But I think, you know, one gap that I see, especially because of my money game, is women in finance. And more women taking on the role of CFO or the financial person, and then also taking that opportunity to influence young girls in that space because, you know, ultimately women, rule the world anyway, but again, another long conversation. But I think that that's a big one, and to see more women in leadership roles and really having the clout in a company to influence direction and decision, because 80% of buying decisions are indeed made by women, major buying decisions. And yet all of those things are influenced by men running companies. So I'm amazed at women-based companies I won't name names, but big, super big direct sales, cosmetic and skincare companies, and all of the executives running those companies and making day-to-day decisions are men. Mm. Very few women. And I think, again, the frustration is taking women out of the corporate world and into the, home-based business or independent workspace. And I think because of the internet and because of technology, you're going to see that more and more with women. But that's one of the things I think is more women running big companies, because we're still so on the low end there.
Yeah.
It's interesting you should say that, too, because in our teams last year, there was an all-women team. Mm-hmm. And so they stood up for it and they did it. And there was a CFO, a CEO, the roles they assigned themselves. But even in some of the mixed teams, there were maybe two boys, one girl. The girl would stand up naturally and assert that position, because in a lot of times she knew more than the other ones or had more experience in that particular field. So it was really cool to be able to see that as a woman.
Oh, that's so refreshing.
Yeah. Even at age 16.
That's awesome, because that's the next generation of leaders. So it's good to see that the tide's turning.
Do you think that more women starting their own businesses might kind of naturally create more women in leadership positions, because as they're leaving corporate America because of the glass ceiling, yeah, they're starting their own businesses. Well, now they're automatically the president or the CEO or the CFO or whatever of their company.
Yes.
And as those companies, you know, over the next 10 years start to get more and more successful, we just naturally have more female CEOs.
I think that's going to be a big component. And because one of the things that women are lacking in the business world are those super successful women in that CEO role as role models and as mentors. And so more and more you're seeing those women rise to the top and become examples for all of us to follow. And, you know, I don't, with girl talk, I mean, you're on the younger side of the demographic sitting in this group right now. What do you find, Maya?
Definitely feel that one of the things that we always say that our mission is to be a living example for the digital dreamers. So we want to champion for more women, especially younger girls, to become entrepreneurs, to become leaders, to speak up for themselves. And so that's something that I definitely agree with, that women are definitely championing for one another to have more leadership roles in everything that they do.
Well, I think that's great. Next time I'm going to make sure that I keep the interviews a little bit shorter, because I feel like we could have just started off with this and just talked the whole hour. Thank you guys so much for joining me. I want to kind of go back through the names. We've got Camille Cooper with Endeavor. Camille, why don't you tell them one last time where they can find you guys?
We are on, our website is endeavor.com, and that is E-N-D-E-V-V-R. We have connected on LinkedIn, Twitter, and Facebook as well.
All right, we got Kathy Hankinson. Tell them where they can find you, Kathy.
ImpactSuccessSystems.com on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitter, website, all of it.
Or at Ritz Group Meetings.
Or Ritz Group Meetings every month.
We've got Maya Hughes from Girl Talk. Tell them where you can find you.
GirlTalkApp.com, and that's Girl Talk with a Y on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, and Mary Blackman.
With FarmStar Living. Okay, so it's farmstarliving.com online and on your app store.
Well, thank you all for joining us. This is going to be, we're wrapping up this episode of Ritz Group Radio Show. We are going to be here next month with our crowdfunding episode. We're actually going to have Dr. Rodney Sampson from OHUB will be here live in the studio, as well as Andrew McConnell from Vacation Futures. We are so excited you could join us, and have a wonderful rest of the week.